This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Did you see the paper today? How many of those names you saw in print are folks you know personally? And how many of the places you read about have you actually been to? Not many, right? Well, if you live in Dunn, North Carolina, and read the Daily Record, your answer would be different. Since 1950, the Daily Record has specialized in hyperlocal coverage of that Harnett County community. It was founded by Hoover Adams. He was a journalist who believed that people want to read about themselves, their neighbors, and their neighborhood. And nothing, not even national crises, took precedence over the Daily Record's detailed coverage of Harnett County. Adams' pioneering media model landed him in the news as well. In 2001, the Wall Street Journal featured the Daily Record because it has the highest readership penetration of any newspaper in America. Hoover Adams passed away in July at the age of 92. And on today's show, we'll remember him and his influence in the news industry. And we're going to do that with a pair of people who knew him very well. Baxter Ennis is a Harnett County native and a retired U.S. Army lieutenant colonel. He was also a friend of Hoover Adams, and he joins us now by phone from Virginia. Baxter, welcome to the State of Things.
Glad to be here, Frank. Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. And also with me in the studio is Michael Smith, the professor of communication studies at Campbell University. Michael, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks very much.
Michael, give us an idea about the mission of the Daily Record in Dunn.
Hoover Adams began his newspaper, as you said, in 1950, and he was committed to this principle. Let's publish the names of ordinary people as often as we can. That model became something that has been picked up by other newspapers around the country. We call it community journalism or personal journalism. And the idea has been featured in books. Dan and Chip Heath wrote about ideas that stick. And others have also taken the idea of local journalism and pushed it to the ultimate, hyperlocal. So as often as you can, talk about the people who read you.
Baxter, you're from Harnett County. You grew up reading that paper. Describe for us the kind of stories that we'd see in the Daily Record.
Well, you could see anything. You could see. I remember one of my, as a military officer stationed in various places around the country and overseas, I always received it, and it was just a great, great way to keep up with what was going on back in Harnett County. But one of the things I remember, one time he did a double truck, a two-page pictorial about hot killing. Now, to the folks in Charlotte or Raleigh or Chapel Hill, that probably wouldn't appeal to them too much. But you know what? It was a historical record of something that's now just totally going away. But he did things like that. He did the old-timey. It was definitely a throwback, a retro kind of a paper under Hoover. Or Mr. Adams, he was just so very much a part of that that agriculture upbringing and that small town and mill town scene, and he talked a lot about that, about small town America.
Well, give us a picture of that scene, Harnett County. What was that like?
Well,
what is it like?
You know, I mean. It's a beautiful little town. You know, it has the distinction of being, if you're going down 95, it's halfway between New York City and Miami. Dunn, North Carolina is the halfway point. On the license plates, it used to say, Dunn, best town under the sun. You know what, that's a little corny, but boy, a lot of folks really believe that. It was just a place of mom, apple pie, and Chevrolet. It was a place kind of like a lot of people would say it's like a Mayberry. It's a very good small town with just a lot of good, decent, hardworking, law-abiding, patriotic citizens. It really was a great place to raise your family and to be from. And a lot of folks these days yearn for that more simple type of lifestyle.
Well, Michael, how did the Daily Record get started?
Well, it began in 1950. Hoover Adams returned from World War II, and he had spent some time with people of influence, and I think took his military mission to journalism. And so borrowed $15,000 from his in-laws, started this newspaper, went against another newspaper, competing newspaper, went to people all over the community and said, I'd like to put your name in the newspaper. Would you submit news? And so he's created a tradition that people understood. I can get my child's birthday party in the newspaper. I have somebody visiting from out of town. I can get that in the newspaper. This doesn't happen anymore. We're in a day when you have to pay to get your obituary printed in a newspaper. So through that model, he grew his newspaper. In 2001, the newspaper had the highest circulation of any newspaper per capita. That
right.
means that
the,
all
the penetration.
The penetration.
Number, yeah, yeah.
So all the homes that could get it got it,
yep.
And he made news.
Well, and apparently read it. I mean, cynically, you could say, sure, put everybody's name in the paper, and they're going to want to buy a paper. But it's more than that, because people – it seems to me that what that paper did for the community was more than just become a kind of a vanity sheet for all the people who lived there. It was a real part of that town and community building.
He had a good formula. On page one, we have gritty, grim news, crime news. So there are plenty of ugly things that happen in Harnett County. Once you get past that, you move into the community journalism, or the rah-rah journalism, some of us say, and you have the birthday parties and the Kiwanis clubs, and also a lot of religion news. They don't call their religion news, which is what we call it in the mainstream general circulation newspapers. They call it the church news. And they have a huge number of people that love that kind of content, and they're getting it there in the Daily Record, which is why they come back week after week, day after day.
And he also had a face on the local political stage as well.
That's right. He, because of his contacts, he was friends with General Lee, who had his home in Dunn, North Carolina, and that's the gentleman that gave us the Airborne Museum. Well, that became the Airborne Museum, but he was the had a military identity. But from that, it was not hard for him to gravitate to conservative politicians. And before long, he was friends with Jesse Helms. He was involved in a controversial election of a U.S. senator, and that paved the way for Helms to become a U.S. senator. And after that, he became kind of the unofficial kingmaker, and all the people from all over North Carolina, and sometimes even national, Bob Dole visited there once, would come and pay a visit. And the suspicion is that you had to get his endorsement if you wanted to be a success.
Well, Baxter, what was his? He had a close relationship with Senator Helms. Do you know what their relationship was like?
Well, they were, for one thing, they did a lot of traveling. Their wives and them traveled many trips overseas and went to many exotic places. I think they actually went on some cruises. And they just really enjoyed each other's company. They're roughly the same age and, the same backgrounds. And he really had a deep affection for Senator Helms, a deep respect. And Senator Helms, that relationship did help open up a lot of doors for Mr. Adams. And likewise, I'm sure Mr. Adams, being his friend, was also very beneficial to Senator Helms. And I got to tell you, as far as the politics there, it was conservative-leaning paper, no question about it. But let me tell you, though, as far as local Democrats or statewide Democrats, they were very, very often supported. Now, not so much on the national scene from what I recall, but very much local. But, Mr. Adams really was. He genuinely loved Dunn and Harnett County, and I mean, to him it was the center of the universe. And to him all the sisters were virtuous and all the men were valiant.
That's true.
He just held them in high esteem, and he took no greater pleasure than to brag about their exploits, their achievements, their success in business, and like has been said, I mean, he even would tell stories or reprint stories about their vacations or if they met famous people or went to huge national or international events. He told those stories, and you know what? It worked. A lot of people enjoyed it.
He also had a column, Michael, called These Little Things. Tell us about that.
Well, as Baxter Ennis mentioned, in that column, he would often select someone in the community that had done something that probably would not make a newspaper like the News and Observer, but he would give it an emphasis, and that person would be, if he was a banker, he's the best banker in the United States. And his wife would be the most attractive woman in the room. And some people found that charming. Others found it not so
charming. Well, I have to say, I mean, it's a great thing. It's a family newspaper and all of that, and it does celebrate the community. But you've got a couple things going on. I mean, there is this question about whether or not you can keep boosting your community and not cast a critical eye. Jesse Helms' conservative politics are up for grabs, and we can debate that. There was an element of racism that even Jesse Helms had to acknowledge at the toward the end of his career, and that's something that I think none of us can abide. What about that, and did he confront those issues, whether or not he was being critical enough and whether or not being close friends with someone who had been so closely associated with racism? Was that ever a challenge for him?
Well, I would like to mention one thing. I knew for years, and I don't know how many years, but the Daily Record did carry a column by a very distinguished African-American lady who her name was Eva Minter, and I believe she was actually a preacher. And I just got to tell you, she had a regular column, and I don't know how often it ran, but at least weekly. And she really was just a kind of a galvanizing person in the black community. And you know, I just respected that. She, you know, it wasn't always popular back in those early days to have someone like her in the paper. And even she admitted that occasionally she would get some very rude phone calls or letters, I guess, in those days. But she just really was a beacon to encourage black pride and achievement. And I don't know. So I at least give him credit for that. He definitely, that column ran all the time, and she was just certainly an extraordinary woman for her day and time.
Michael?
Charles Broadwell, the publisher of the Fayetteville Observer, had an opportunity to interview Hoover in depth in 1999, and he questioned him about this very thing. And Hoover said he was never a bigot. He didn't use that word, but that's what he meant. And then I had an opportunity to talk to him frequently. I dropped by the Daily Record for Campbell Business or to talk about students and so on. And he was the kind of gentleman who you could approach without an appointment. And we talked about these things. And he wanted to talk about it. He wanted to let people know there is a kind of a public picture that he could be perceived as someone that was not warm to all races, but in my heart, I think he was. He wanted his pages to be open to everyone, and he was a product of his time. He was like a reminds me of Reagan. Reagan was the guy who was perhaps taking away benefits from a lot of Americans, but if you met him personally, he was the first one to say, "Here, you need an extra shirt. You need my coat." He was very generous like that. So I found him to be a very affable man.
And it's a family-owned paper, and it's still in the family, right?
Oh, yes. Bart Adams is the publisher. He's the son of Hoover Adams. Hoover Adams has a son and a daughter. One of his sons is a lawyer. And Bart is doing a fantastic job. He is keeping the main thing the main thing. They have a print newspaper. They have a website. They have they use Twitter and Facebook, but it's basically the print newspaper. And they're staying in business. I'm not sure they're making a fortune, but they are doing the thing that Hoover Adam began.
And they're doing a thing that now newspapers are beginning to model and to emulate. Wish they could do it as well as he did.
As you know, the suburban newspapers are the ones that are doing better than the metro newspapers. And the more community you can get, the better they are. So Bart and I talked recently about, is there a way to start covering the neighborhoods, and you could have perhaps on the web each person in a certain area have a column. But the hard thing, of course, is getting the passion to do it on a regular basis. Anyone that's worked in journalism knows you got to get it right. You have to be accurate. And that's one of the problems about citizen journalism, is that these people want to do something good and noble, but they haven't been trained that you have to check it out. This is crucial. You can't just publish or report something you heard. Often it's distorted.
Right. And in fact, that's getting worse and worse these days in terms of journalism, where too much is getting out without being vetted or verified, owing to, you know, kind of what's going on the internet, blogs, etc. Baxter, what was your favorite feature of the Dunn record, or the Daily Record in Dunn?
Well, it had to be these little things. His Mr. Adams' regular column that was always on the left-hand side of the front page, and usually jumped back in maybe page 14 or 16 or something for the rest of it. But that was just such a connector with the community, and it's just you know, and while it was generally, you know, pretty much fluff and you know, niceties and bragging about people, I do remember some times when, for example, there was I would not dare name the person, but there was a local fellow who was you know, quite a large guy, and I just remember Hoover talking about him at a restaurant at a buffet, and just how he, you know, really, really, really helped himself to the food. So you know, Hoover could, you know, he could call a spade a spade. He could once in a while say some things that might be less than flattering. But the bottom line is, he loved the people, he loved the community, and he was the biggest cheerleader.
Michael, what do you think is his legacy? How will you remember him, and how will the industry and Dunn remember him?
Well, the fear is that this type of newspaper becomes what's called a Chamber of Commerce paper that only publishes the rah-rah news. It isn't. It publishes it can be very aggressive on the police news. It's published stories about the police having a stripper on the payroll. I don't know how they pulled that off, but that's a kind of article that will not win you friends in a crucial area that you have to go to get your news. And they do, I think, a very good job with beating coverage, which many newspapers neglect these days because it takes so much time to sit through a public meeting. So I think his legacy will be that he did a great job of publishing, some of us call it the me media, the information that would be self-indulgent, your news release from community groups or from personal, from people. I think he does a good job with the crime news. I call that the menace media. And I think sometimes it does get to be a case where, because you only have the local product, you don't necessarily see the world outside there. But there's enough of sports news. They cover high schools well and Campbell University well and so on. And readers want that. Most of us would say you'd have to have a second source for news if you really want to be well informed, because this is strictly local news. But he does have a pretty aggressive editorial page that covers national and state politics. And let me add quickly that one of Hoover Adams' closest friends was U.S. Senator Robert Morgan, a Democrat, who was one of his pallbearers. So he had a great ability to reach out to a lot of people. And I think that in itself would be his legacy.
Baxter, did most people get a second newspaper, do you think?
Well, now, that I really couldn't say. I, you know, I'm sure there were many people that in the south side of the county, I guess, that got the northern side of the county, that got the News and Observer, and then probably some on the other side subscribed to the Fayetteville Times Observer. But for many of the older folks, that the Daily Record may have been their only paper.
Well, but, I want to thank you both for being on the program today. Pleasure talking with both of you. Thanks so much.
A pleasure being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Baxter Ennis, a retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel from Harnett County. Michael Smith, a professor of communication studies at Campbell University. They joined us to remember journalism pioneer Hoover Adams, who passed away last month at the age of 92. On the state of things, we will continue in a moment. Please stay tuned.